are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now we're getting into our Steps to Christ review. We are on chapter 6, and of course, as always, you're invited to read along with us. The chapter is entitled Faith and Acceptance. You can find this quite easily on the internet. All right. Elder Chisenga joins us on the line to go over our review of chapter 6 of the book Steps to Christ. Now, faith and acceptance are at the heart of a true relationship with God, as we discussed on Tuesday. Many struggle with the idea of receiving God's grace and feeling unworthy, feeling unsure if they have done enough. But faith is not about earning salvation, as we learned. It's about trusting in God's promises and accepting His love, no matter what our past might look like, regardless of our present struggles. And so this chapter reminds us that salvation is a gift and that it's not a transaction. Our role is simply to believe and to receive it. My elder, welcome once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment, and good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much. And greetings to our listeners.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you would open for us in prayer, then we can get straight into the second half of our chapter 6.
God and our Father, once again, we are in your presence. We acknowledge our inability and acknowledge your ability. Come in your fullness and show yourself strong within our lives as we take some time to discuss this chapter. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you just give us maybe, let's start off with a recap of what we covered on Tuesday, my elder, and then we can get into today's subject.
Okay. Thank you so much. On Tuesday, we were making the point that normally our hearts will actually condemn us. But the truth of the matter is that we cannot rely upon our hearts, because even the Word of God says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And so we cannot rely upon our hearts. We cannot rely upon our feelings. The encouragement that we were receiving is that we can rely upon the changeless Word of God. We did make the point through God's grace that we are not in a position to fix it. It's only God that can fix it. And God, who is able to fix it, just extends an invitation to every one of us to just come as we are. And when we come as we are, He will be able to make things right between us and Him.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And now many people struggle with accepting God's grace because they dwell on their unworthiness. However, rejecting His gift because of doubt, it's like refusing medicine that can heal, right? And faith means choosing to believe even when doubts arise. Let's talk a little bit about that struggle that some people face, accepting God's grace, because we're so focused on how unworthy we are of that grace.
True indeed. The more we focus upon ourselves, the more we have reasons to doubt. But the encouragement is that we need not focus upon ourselves, but instead we need to focus upon God. Now, as we talk about matters that relate to doubt, you actually discover that the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, It simply says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And when you get to James chapter 1 and reading verse 5, verse 6, and 7 thereabout, we are encouraged that when we ask, we should ask in faith, mm-hmm. and we should not doubt. In fact, verse 7 makes it abundantly clear to the effect that we should not expect to receive anything from God if at all we actually doubt. Mm-hmm. Now, as we review this particular chapter, paragraph, that is page 53, paragraph 1, I think there's a very important statement that we find there. Mm. And it simply says, here is where thousands fail.
Yes.
They do not believe that Jesus pardons them personally and individually. So, building on what the Word of God has actually said, and this particular statement, we actually discover, like you have actually indicated, here is somebody who is sick. They need medication, but the only source of their hope, they are actually denying. And that's what faith is all about. And when you look at this particular statement that has been made, it's like many of us probably say, okay, yes, I do believe Jesus died for the whole world. Yes, Jesus forgave, you know, everyone in the world. But are we able to take it further to understand that personally, that particular crime, that particular sin that I actually committed, God is able to forgive me? It's like healing. Many of us believe when we read the Word of God, oh yes, Jesus healed the paralytic. Oh yes, Jesus Christ raised the dead. Oh yes, Jesus Christ did this and that. But when we turn the coin around and try to ask, do I really believe that Jesus Christ is able to heal me personally and individually? You actually discover that many of us begin to doubt. And so, allow us to take it a little further as we talk about the subject matter of doubt and faith. I found a very important statement that is on page 51, paragraph 3. Here is what the pen of inspiration says. Jesus says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That is according to Mark 11 and verse 24. There is a condition to this promise, that we pray according to the will of God.
Yes.
But it is the will of God to cleanse us from sin, to make us his children, and to enable us live a holy life. So we may ask for these blessings and believe that we have received them, and thank God that we have received them. End of quote. Allow us to dwell a little on this particular statement.
Okay.
The beginning point says, whatsoever thing you desire. And so the question comes, if I am filled with guilt and feelings of unforgiveness, do I desire to be cleansed? If the answer is yes, then we are being told we are to ask, and this is according, also supported by Matthew 7, verse 7. But the Bible of Inspiration says there is a condition to this particular promise. Okay? And the condition is, the question is it his will? And where do we get his will? That's where now we go to the Word of God, where there are promises, the commitments that God has actually made. Last week we alluded to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where he says, if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. So we can go to that particular portion of scripture and point the Lord to that particular promise. And as the pen of inspiration is saying, we are to ask for the blessing of forgiveness. Then the next thing, according to Luke chapter 11, verse 24, we are to believe, okay? And then finally, the last component, which relates to claiming, we are to thank God. And this is supported by what Christ did when Lazarus had died in John chapter 11 and verse 41. When he was offering his prayer, there is an important statement that he begins with. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. When he was saying, I thank you that you have heard me, Lazarus was still dead in the tomb. But he began by saying, I thank you. So we don't have to wait to feel forgiven. When we have a promise, we ask, we declare our belief, we can go right ahead and thank God that he has actually forgiven us. And that which he has actually promised in his word is going to be ours. Now, we can take it a little further. You know, many of us believers tend to believe that God is able to forgive us of our sins. But we tend to doubt that he is able to keep us from falling. It's like we are in this state where we run a cycle, fall, sin, ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven. You sin, you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiveness, you are forgiven. That kind of cycle.
Yes.
But the statement that we were actually reading, that is on page 51, paragraph 3, you actually discover the last component says, and to enable us to live a holy life. So meaning, it is God's will not only to forgive us of our sins, it is also his will to help us lead a holy life. Now we get back to the component of the promises that are there in God's word. You have promises such as Isaiah chapter 36, verse 26, and I think the chapter alludes to this particular promise, where God promises to give us a new heart. But further, when you get to verse 27, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep my judgments and do them. So there is that particular commitment that God makes. If there is something that is easily besetting us, he is a promise and many other promises that we can still get back to and go through the same cycle of asking God, believing, and also claiming the promise by actually thanking God. The chapter also alludes to what happens to the prodigal son when he actually returned home. And he said, I will go back to my father. I'll tell him I am not worthy to be called your son. He rejects that particular speech. But remember, while he was far off, the father rushed towards him, threw his arms around him. And one of the instructions that the father actually gave, he asked the servant to pick a robe and, you know, sandals. In other words, he clothed his son,
yeah.
restoring him to the status of a son. Mm. What that basically is telling us is that we are saving a God who is not only interested in forgiving us, we are saving a God who is interested in restoring our status as his children and enabling us to live lives as his children.
Mm.
Allow me to end by this particular last statement. I think it should be in the second last sentence, even in this particular chapter on page 55.
Okay.
The pen of inspiration says he wants to restore his moral image in man.
Mm.
That is the will of God.
Amen.
For each one of us. We pray that by God's grace, we should be able to take comfort from his will as revealed in his word and simply be in a position to ask, believe, and also claim the promises that God has given unto us in his word.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Shah, what a mouthful. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. I think this is such an important chapter in this book, speaking to, I think, an experience that many Christians can identify with. Even after we have come to learn of God's grace and his mercy, and we've confessed and we're on the road, we're repenting, and we're trying to live a better life. But I think it's so important to know that when you start feeling those doubts, like, can God really, really forgive me? Am I really accepted? I think it's so important to not rely on our own feelings, but to claim those promises, as you said. And I also like the emphasis that you make there on faith leading to transformation, that it doesn't have to be this endless cycle of sinning and forgiveness, sinning, coming to repent, confess, forgiveness, then do it again. It doesn't have to be that cycle, that never-ending cycle. God actually seeks to transform our hearts. And we can't still be the same person now. 10 years from now, we're still saying that, the Lord is still working on me. That's not the idea. That's not the idea.
Amen. Amen. In fact, when we look at what 1 John chapter 2, I wish to believe, verse 1 actually says, you get the connotation that really sin is supposed to be an exception, because it says that if we sin, we need to know that we have an advocate.
Yes.
So meaning that the norm is actually for us to strive by the grace of God.
Ooh.
To lead a holy life.
Wow.
But the adventure, if we sin, we need not despair, because we have an advocate in Christ. So even when our hearts condemn us, you did that yesterday, you have done it again, we still have an advocate. We can keep on believing, striving, believing, allowing God to give us victory over those things that may easily beset us.
Wow, I love that. Sure. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, my elder. God bless you. Would you close for us in prayer?
Sure. Our God and our Father, we are extremely grateful for the revelation that you have given unto us. You know, King Emmanuel, the pain that you went through in order to secure our salvation. We want to thank you that pain is not only to the extent of taking care of our parts, but it also encompasses your ability to give us strength to live right. To thank you for your revealed will this morning. Our prayer is that may it indeed be our experience to the glory and honor of your holy name, is our asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Elder Chisenga, God bless you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Amen. And God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Have a blessed day. Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.